When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Welcome back to the Pixie Dust Podcast. Annie Fry here as your host. Very grateful that you are here. Thank you for listening to us. And make sure that you subscribe to the Pixie Dust Podcast, now available anywhere you get your podcasts from. Just type in Pixie Dust Podcast and you'll find us. You can Google the Pixie Dust Podcast. It'll show up radio.com, a great way to listen to it as well. And my co-host for this series is Erica Murphy. She is a travel agent with Magic Expeditions, and she's got all the goods, all the knowledge, and I just have all the passion. Well, she's got passion too.
I was gonna say, I think we both got the passion.
Yeah. You just know things. I just feel things. I'm here to have feeling and sentiment, and you're here to make sense of it. This episode is, I'm very interested in this one specifically because now that in my personal life, people have started to find out more my very newfound affinity for all things Disney World, my happy place. It's so interesting to hear people talk about what Disney World is. They talk about how Disney World was when they were kids, mm-hmm. and I guess what they anticipate that it would be now. And I have to say, like, not only have things changed a lot in the last decades, like, things have changed in the last week.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, this is going to be an episode that's basically like a update on Disney World for people who maybe went when their kids were young or when you were young, like myself. I went, I think it was 1991 is when I've narrowed it down to. It was a very different place. And growing up in the late 80s and the 90s, most of my memories from my trip to Disney World are basically what we took photos of at the time. So what you got to go back and look at and remember through those photographs kind of makes those memories last. When did you go to Disney for the first time?
I was young. It may have been around that time, 91, 92, something, because my brother and sister were born. So I'm early 90s. But even though things have changed, there's still a lot that's the same. And that's one of the things that I love about Disney is going and seeing those memories. And like, as soon as you're there and you smell that Main Street, it immediately takes you back to being 10 years old, seeing it for the first time, or, you know, seeing a place where, you know, my grandmother met Chip and Dale, and I remember seeing, you know, like, her in her wheelchair. And like, I immediately, as soon as I go to that spot by the bathroom in the American Pavilion, like, I'm immediately transported back to that moment. And that's why I'm so passionate about it, because those memories are They're there.
So I have taken a trip last summer with my in-laws. So mm-hmm. Grandma and Grandpa Fry came last summer, and they too went when they were, I think they camped when yeah. they went the first time. So things have certainly changed since then. You can mm-hmm. still camp, which is something, as again, like you said, that is still there, that, yeah. that has been there for a long time. Or my parents are going with us this summer. And there are some things that people need to know about what Disney World is today.
Yeah.
Stuff that has changed. Like the biggest change to me is technology and how technology, mm-hmm. not just the technology of the rides, mm-hmm. which could be its own conversation, but how technology lends itself to planning your trip, enjoying mm-hmm. your trip, maximizing your trip.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. And I think it's something, they have a whole team of Imagineers that's just what they do, is they just stay up on that. So as we're sitting here doing this right now, they're thinking of the next biggest, greatest thing. I remember going in the early 90s and Epcot had the Future World, and it had like a House of Tomorrow. And in the early 90s, they had a robot vacuum cleaner. And I remember seeing that as a kid and it standing out and being like, oh my gosh, can you imagine a house that you're not going to have to vacuum?
Can
that
there's going to be a Roomba?
Yeah. And now it's like almost every house has one, and they're like on Black Friday for $50. So, you know, it's... The things that they think about are so futuristic, and it's so cool that they're this team of brilliant Imagineers. Just, mm-hmm. This is what they do.
The Roombas that I've seen are expensive, but you can get them. And it is one of those things that, to me, it's like everybody would love to have that. And it always comes up at Christmas time.
Yeah.
Like you totally reconsider your need for a
need versus
humanless
yeah.
vacuum cleaner come Black Friday and yeah. Christmas shopping.
I tell you what I really want, and this is going a little off topic, but those cameras that you could like give your pet a treat while you're at work, and it's like you can be like, "Hey Bailey," and like press a button and it just like spits out a treat, and you can yeah. like communicate with your dog while yeah. while you're
probably not high on my list for
House
my dog.
Of Tomorrow.
Yeah. Aww. Yes, exactly. House of Tomorrow. No. I'm building my dog's character. Rosie is very loved.
Poor Rosie.
And very sweet. You know, I think about Tomorrowland mm-hmm. in Magic Kingdom,
yeah.
and I kind of, I don't know. I don't know if Tomorrowland, if there's anything planned in the near future. Tomorrowland looks like the Tomorrow of 1991 to me.
Yeah.
And I feel like...
Well, it was imagined in 1971,
yeah.
so that's, yeah.
So we've passed Tomorrow.
We're past it.
But it'll be interesting to see if Disney decides to make that a priority to change it. Like, I kind of feel like Tomorrowland could look like Times Square, like New York mm-hmm. City, like just big lights and screens and stuff, because that looks futuristic. And I say this having gone to New York City for the first time in 2019, when you're standing in Times Square and you're looking around, it's just like, wow, this mm-hmm. is a really big.
Yeah.
This is a big deal. This is a big thing. Lots yeah. going on here. So I don't know. I don't know if but it feels nostalgic to yeah. be there.
Well, to me, it's like, it reminds me of the Jetsons, where it's like, mm-hmm. you know, it's that futuristic, like driving a spaceship kind
yes,
of,
it's old,
you know,
fashioned
feel.
Futuristic.
Yeah.
Whatever
I'm like,
that is.
I want like the big, like chrome puffy sleeves. Like I want like a metal skirt.
Yeah. Where we all move like robots, but we're not really actually robots.
Right.
Turning into a dance thing of the future. So how do you, I mean, when you're talking to people who are like, well, I went to Disney in the 90s, so mm-hmm. I've been there. And if it's like, if you've been there in the 90s or the 80s or yeah. the 70s, if people are like, oh, I've gone, I know what it's about. In 2020, specifically with the technology, what, as a travel agent, do you let them in on?
Well, and I was very lucky that I've gotten to go over the years. So I kind of saw this in progression. So little by little, as it changed, if you went in the early 90s or went even in the 70s, it's a totally different park. Like, a lot, like the castle is still there, the monuments are still there, a lot of the same attractions are there. But I mean, you have to think, we're coming up on the 50th anniversary, and imagine how we have changed in 50 years, that massive park, it's not the same at all as far as technology, the way that things are booked, the way that things are planned. I remember going as a kid and just walking up on rides and not waiting. Like, we could just do whatever we want, whenever we want. And now I actually have a client that's on property right now, and she sent me a picture and said, you know, if this is off season, I don't want to see what busy season is.
Yep.
Because there's a sea of people even in the off season. And that's what, you know, I reiterate to people, that even though you've gone, and I mean, I haven't gone in the past year because, you know, my son and I took that. And even in that past year, how much has changed from last year till now with Galaxy's Edge and all the new attractions. The park is constantly evolving.
Yeah.
And they do that for a reason. They want to stay fresh. They want people to keep coming back. They want you to have that nostalgia, but have something new to come every time.
Yeah, so you want to be able to experience something new when you show up. I know for, we went, let's see, we went last summer and Galaxy's Edge, we went, I guess, the end of July, the beginning of August, and Galaxy's Edge opened at the end of August.
Yeah.
So we were on Slinky Dog, and we could see Galaxy's Edge, but we couldn't go into Galaxy's Edge quite yet on our vacation. And then my husband and I took a long weekend trip here in late January, early February, and just the two of us, and we got to go into Galaxy's Edge. Mm-hmm. And we got to ride Smuggler's Run, and we got to ride Rise of the Resistance, and you know, going back to the difference between how technology works with how you plan, which is very important. Also, the technology that, I mean, if you remember It's a Small World and you thought, wow, look at all these animatronics or whatever they're called. And, or if you saw Pirates of the Caribbean and you saw the pirates in there and you thought, wow, that is just amazing. Lifelike, it's still there and it is still cool and it is still nostalgic. But when you go take in a Rise of the Resistance, it's like,
yeah,
what's happening? Blow my mind. Flight of Passage as well.
Go Google Mickey from 1971. Even the characters that were on Main Street, I mean, they've evolved. You know, it's no longer
old characters. Kind of freak me out, I'm not going to lie.
They're a little creepy.
Yes.
And so, I mean, everything. So now, you know, their eyes blink and they're more friendly and approachable. Mm-hmm. And it's not like a scary Easter bunny that, you know, you see from your childhood. So they have evolved everything. You know, we joke on here about the different outfits and things that they wear. And that's, I mean, every little thing down to the characters that you interact with, let alone the rides and the technology.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been, and it's every, you could go every single year and see something new.
Yeah. So what about when people are planning the technology that is involved in, or the process of planning that vacation out? There are a lot of things that are done digitally.
Yeah. So in 1999, they developed the FastPass system, and it was a ticket event. So if you went in the early 90s or the late 90s, early 2000s, they've, as the crowds were going up, they developed a reservation system to try and get people to where you don't have to stand in line for 3 hours. It'll be a 1 hour reservation to where you would come back, but you would have to physically go up to a kiosk, put your paper ticket in, and it would spit out a piece of paper with a time. So you didn't get to choose the time. They told you what time.
This is what you're going to do.
This is what you're going to do. This is when you're going to be here. So you either had to wait around and see something there, or you had to come back. Well, as that's evolved, now they have magic bands to where everything is on a basically little watch on your wrist. They have the My Disney Experience app where you get to pick your reservation time. You get to choose what is best for your family to where you may get, with the fast pass of the paper, you know, they may have said the only thing available for Space Mountain is 7:20 p.m. And you're like, well, my kid goes to bed at 7, so I guess I'm just going to have to throw this away or give it to somebody else. Now you get to choose when you want to do it, how you want to do it. You could be in the park, and if something opens up, then you can rechange that reservation and really interact, make the vacation what you want it to be for your family.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, too, that the benefit of using somebody who is a travel agent like Erica, it costs you nothing to use a travel agent like Erica. And you can reach out to her, Erica@magicexpeditions.com, E-R-I-K-A.
Or my Facebook page.
Or your Facebook page, which I'm so excited about. I tasked you with this. I actually invited Erica to like her own Facebook page.
I liked it.
She did. She accepted my invite. I was so happy for her. Erica Murphy, Magic Expeditions. You can search that on Facebook and like that as well. And she'll be sharing exciting information, new developments. And I'm going to ask you about one of those here in just a second.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to planning all this out, if you did it in you know, before the internet even existed, chances are you're going to need a little bit of a crash course. You're probably super savvy at this type of stuff. You just need to know, show me where to go and tell me what to do, and then you can handle it yourself. But having somebody who can keep you up to date and guide you through that is super helpful. And also having somebody who can help you save money in the process. Because like I said, it doesn't, the way Erica makes money is through Disney, not through you and your trip. She's there to help you and help you save as much money as possible. news and information that comes out fast, which I don't know, like, I don't know what Disney did in the 80s and the 90s for deals and enticing people to come stay, but it is a constant math problem for Disney to look at. Let's look at what our available inventory is, specifically when would we like to encourage more people to take a trip. And then they might create a promo centered around maneuvering people throughout the year to come at different times and stay at different places. Erica gets those updates as soon as they happen. Mm-hmm. And there is a pretty significant change just this week, today. Yeah. I don't know when you're hearing this, but at the end of February regarding the dining plans that, depending on how you book your vacation, might be a pretty significant opportunity to save.
Yeah. So previously there were three dining plans. So there was the quick service dining plan, the standard Disney dining plan, and the deluxe dining plan. So all involved a level of you all get a refillable mug. You get two snack credits to use with it. The quick service was two quick service meals, meaning the fast casual. Disney dining plan gave you a little bit of both, where you got one table service, one quick service per person per day, per night of your stay, and the deluxe plan gave you three dining credits to use, whichever combination you want. So I'm really excited because we always do the standard dining plan. The deluxe dining plan was a little bit too much just for our family as far as too much food, and we didn't really need all that. So
it's
now
a lot of food.
It's a lot of food, but we're also foodies, so I like to do a lot of the signature dining. So sometimes I like to use two credits for, you know, like Le Cellier or California Grill. But so there was always like this mix, like we always got the Disney dining plan, but we ended up paying for a meal or two out of pocket because we ran out of credits.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have the Disney Plus dining, which I'm crazy excited about because it gives you two credits to use however you want, whether it's a table service or a quick service in any combination.
And the reason why I am the most excited about this, first of all, table service restaurants, I really like with small kids because you get the opportunity to sit down and take a break for a little bit more than probably in the air conditioning, a little bit more than you would at a quick service. But most of the character experiences that are included with dining are table service opportunities. Mm-hmm. And we work those into our trip to really plus up the experience of our total vacation.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, you know, eating the food is amazing, but oftentimes you can incorporate other experiences that you wouldn't have to go stand in a line to meet the Winnie the Pooh characters or the princesses.
Mm-hmm.
You can save some time in the park doing that by combining meeting characters and having an experience with them that's a little bit longer than a 5-minute meet and greet.
Yeah.
And eating really good food. But you got to have table service credits to do that.
Yeah.
And so when you only have one per day per person, it really limits. Like you have to really choose and usually leave some out that you would like to go. So if you have those two table service credits now, you will have really, really maximized your ability to do it without having the ton of food that comes with the deluxe dining plan.
Yeah,
and I'll say too that for my trip this summer with my parents coming along, we will still do the deluxe dining plan, but we'll share credits with them.
Yep.
They're not staying with us the whole time. I don't know that we would be able to do that. We could make it work if we really wanted to. The deluxe dining plan, if you have big eaters, I mean, I have a 10-year-old who's starting to become a big eater, but then I have two girls that are younger than him. Like, they don't need an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert and a drink with every meal. That's pretty excessive for them. But if you were going with just adults and you wanted to have a lot of the two credit signature dining experiences, maybe it makes a difference.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, too, is with the Disney Standard and the Disney Plus, that you get an entree and a dessert with every meal. And the dessert you can typically use as like a salad or something. You don't have to eat a dessert with every meal. They'll switch it out for like apple slices or something.
Mm-hmm.
But with that deluxe credit, on top of all the food that you get, then you have those three credits. And, you know, I've had clients that have come back and been like, yeah, somebody at the table next to us offered to buy our meal because they had extra credits at the end of the week.
Oh, that's nice.
It was very nice of them, but I'd also hate for people to buy these credits. So you know what's best for your family. You know if you're going to do these signature dinings, if you're going to do, you know, what's best for you, which is why I am so excited. I think the Disney Plus is what they needed. This is going to be a nice gap in between the two.
Yeah. So these are just some of the ways, like dining reservations, that it was very different than it was before.
Yeah.
what does it take if, I mean, if you show up to Disney World and you haven't pre-planned some of this stuff, mm-hmm. it's not going to be the way it was in 1990.
No, no, you're not going to just be able to walk in and get reservations. And again, it's Disney, so they do everything to try to accommodate. But I mean, there's thousands and thousands of people that go to these restaurants every single day. And if they did that for everybody, then nobody would end up getting. So, you know, yes, there are places on property that you can walk into and get a table, no problem, without a reservation, because there's hundreds of restaurants on property, but you're not going to be able to walk into Le Cellier and get a table. You're not going to be able to walk into Cinderella's Royal Table and get a table. Like, there's different, the big restaurants, you're not going to just be able, they're going to be booked up well in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned something about the character dining, which I think is an interesting change, too, that back in the early 90s, the characters used to just wander around the parks, and they don't do that anymore. You're not just going to see Donald Duck walking down Main Street unless he's getting from point A to point B to one of the character meets. But they typically don't stop for pictures. They don't stop to do autographs or things like that. You have to go to one of the predetermined locations to meet the characters. So if you don't want to waste a fast pass on character meeting or stand in line to meet them, character dining is a great, great opportunity.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about some other ways that the, let's see, parks, the experience has evolved over the course of maybe 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Because I think of a lot of people, you know, if you're in my position now where you're the middle generation of people who could go and enjoy a great Disney World trip, maybe mm-hmm. multi-generational, or maybe, you know, a trip with just first time back and you got a young kid and mm-hmm. you want to take them and have the experience. What are some other things that people who haven't experienced Disney World in quite some time might be surprised?
Well, I mean, there was a whole new park. Animal Kingdom was around in 1998. So if you went before 1998, which wasn't that terribly long ago, there's a whole nother park that you haven't even seen yet. So
that's true.
It's the newest park to the four. It has live animals and conservation. We've talked about this in some of other episodes. But, you know, if you haven't been, just think of that scope. There's a whole new park that opened in 1998. That you may not have seen.
And then in addition to the park, just, I mean, the amount of time that every park reinvents itself in a major
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
Or if you are really looking forward to going to the, what is it, the Great Movie Ride?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I never, you know, I never went through it. I actually think maybe I did go through it. Are there first-person YouTube videos of it? I need to go see if I can see it and if it would trigger some memories of
yeah.
a six-year-old Annie.
You'll as soon as you see it, you'll be like, I know. And it needed a makeover. Like, I get it. So my husband is a new Disney person. And I say he's married to a Disney person. He will never admittedly be a Disney person, even though he's bought a trip for me by himself and did all the fast passes.
Aww.
So I think that he is a Disney person in disguise. But he... I made him go on the Great Movie. And it's a longer ride. I mean, it was like a 30-minute ride. But it took you through the movies.
Yeah.
And it was like a tram. But it was one of the older rides. So it's the old animatronics. So once you see Disney... New Disney, not having any recollection to what it was previously. So he's seeing, you know, Space Mountain, and he's seeing Frozen with these characters that interact and they're, you know, animatronics that look like characters.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go on this Great Movie Ride and you see, like, you know, a old robot that's like Casablanca.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, what is this? Like, he was not a fan, but it's my favorite because it's one of those nostalgic things. It needed a makeover. I get it. But it, I'm really excited about Mickey Rail,
mm-hmm.
which is the new ride that's there. But I think of all the parks, out of any of them, Hollywood Studios has seen, it's not the same park at all that it was even 15 years ago. It was, it started as MGM Studios, which is...
Yep, that's what it was when I was there.
Yeah, it was MGM, and it was built to be half attractions, half theme park. The other half was a working studio.
The concept of the park in and of itself is entirely different today.
Yes. It's like, it's not the same park that it was, aside of just the name. I mean, it had the Newsies and Mickey Mouse Club were actually filmed there on property. Mulan and Lilo and Stitch were created there. They had a backlot tour that it took you through the working studios. I miss it. Hollywood Studios used to be my favorite. MGM Studios used to be my favorite, and now it is just it's still a great park, but it is not a working live studio. Mm-hmm. That's not, it's meant to make you feel like you're in Hollywood without actually being the working.
I think too, to that vein, even kind of interjecting into the middle of what the evolution of MGM and mm-hmm. what Hollywood Studios is like today, right now, this very moment, is I think in when it lost the MGM thing and it lost the working studio aspect, I think it kind of lost, just from what I've read from people and mm-hmm. gleaned from opinionators on the issue for quite some time.
There's plenty of opinions out there.
Oh, my heavens, there are. Like, I feel like, am I supposed to be mad about this? Seems like people are mad about this. I'm not really that mad about it. But it seemed as though Hollywood Studios kind of lost its soul when it did that. And it was like, it's a half-day park now and so on and so forth. Telling you what, if you go in 2020, so I have our summer plan out. We are doing Animal Kingdom. We are doing Epcot. We're doing most of what we do at Epcot is for food.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, I think, 2 days at Animal Kingdom, but they are half days. We're doing like a morning so we can get all the fast passes there, mm-hmm. but we're also going to do an evening so we can see the evening show mm-hmm. and maybe try to snag an extra Flight of Passage evening fast pass mm-hmm. towards the beginning of our trip. But Hollywood Studios, every single day that we can get into Hollywood Studios to experience the different rides yeah. and attractions that they have there with my kids and like having a 10-year-old boy and a 7-year-old, almost 8-year-old girl when we go, and a 4-year-old mm-hmm. girl when we go. There's so much to do there. Yeah. It is easily a full-day park. It's definitely an experience that I think you're going to want to, if you have multiple days worked mm-hmm. in, you're probably, Magic Kingdom is a 2-day park. You can definitely spend 2 whole days at Magic Kingdom and not do everything.
Yeah.
Hollywood Studios, I'm saying, at this point in time, is the same.
I completely agree. And they also, Disney has always had a concept of an immersive experience. So even when Magic Kingdom opened, if you look at the difference between Adventureland and Tomorrowland, the sidewalks are different. The clothing that the cast members wear are different. It has always been an immersive company. So when you go, they think of the smells and the sights and the touch and the everything that you can think of. The new wave of Disney, as far as an immersive experience, is unlike anything that you could even imagine in your best dream. Like, the way that they have done Galaxy's Edge and the way that they have done Toy Story Land, that literally makes you feel like you are shrunk down to a size of a toy in Andy's backyard. You know, it's something immersive that it takes you to that other land, and that's the part of it. Which that's is, the whole that's the point.
That's the magic of the Magic Kingdom. It exactly. transforms you, it immerses you, and they have certainly done that as well. What else do you have on your list?
So there's definitely more resorts. So if you went in the sure. early 90s, even in the 70s, so Disney started with 2 resorts. It was the Contemporary and Polynesian, and then Fort Wilderness opened later in November of that year. So it started with 3 resorts. Now it has over 20 resorts, with one, the Disney Riviera, that just opened up this past year. Each resort has different feels. They have more value resorts that are going to be more of an outdoor motel feel like. Then there's going to be immersive again. We've said, you know, Animal Kingdom Lodge has a savanna on property with balconies overlooking the savanna when you wake up. So, you know, the amount of properties that they have, it's not, your experience is not just limited to the parks. It is now taken back to your room, back to the resorts. You could spend an entire day just hopping from resort to resort mm-hmm. and seeing the different restaurants.
Which means
and
you don't have to buy a park ticket that day,
you
which is
not.
A great way to spend time with spending less money.
Exactly. And especially around the holidays is one of my favorite times to park hop, because during Easter, each park will have its own Fabergé eggs. During Halloween, they'll have pumpkins to where the cast members have different contest to where they each decorate their pumpkin, or they'll do like a wreath. And then for Christmas, they do these larger than life gingerbreads. They have these beautiful Christmas trees. So just spending a day going around looking at the holiday decorations, no matter when you go,
mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite days.
I completely agree. And the other thing too is that, so you're hearing this right now and you're like, you know what? This kind of sounds not like what I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'd like to go back. You can reach out to Erica on Facebook, Erica Murphy at Magic, or Erica Murphy Magic Expeditions on Facebook. Just type that in there. Or you can email her, E-R-I-K-A, Erica@MagicExpeditions.com. Just ask questions. No, absolutely no commitment, just to reach out to her and discuss this with her. And the reason why I say that is because if you are a, let's say, huge Star Wars fan, we were just speaking to somebody when we came into the studio to record this podcast who said, you know what? He was talking about how sometimes thinking about going to Disney raises his blood pressure because his wife is a huge Disney fan. And but as soon as the Star Wars hotel gets built, that he was all in for that. They're huge Star Wars fans, and they definitely want to be involved in that. Well, Disney is building. We've talked about this in some prior episodes, but Disney is building a hotel that is an immersive experience, and it is for Star Wars super fans, of which I am not one, but I know people who are, and I know people who hear this, and this is like the epicenter of an experience if you were somebody who is directly in this lane. And when that hotel gets built and completed, you can have somebody like Erica make sure that she secures your spot as soon as it becomes open, because it's going to be a pretty competitive environment.
It 100% is. And that's the thing, too, that I always say, even if you don't work with me, work with an agent that knows, because you know, nobody knows your family like you do. Your family does differently than my family does, yet we have, you know, crazy passion about Disney. We have that in common, but our families do Disney totally different. If I were to accidentally book the new Star Wars hotel and get there not knowing what it was, I would be so disappointed, because it's not for you. It's not for me.
Correct.
But I have clients that have already like reached out to me and are like, put me on a list the second that it opens. I don't care what the pricing is. Yep. I have to be there.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's not going to be, it's an immersive experience to where you are in Star Wars. So it's not that you can come and go. You're not at Disney World. You're at Galaxy's Edge. So for me, I was just talking about this earlier, like being on somebody else's schedule is not my cup of tea. But if it's yours, I can help you, or somebody else can help you with that. But if you don't know what you're going into, I would be very disappointed.
Yeah. And Erica has her ear to the ground. She gets tipped off on things. She hears rumors and then watches very closely for when Disney makes things official. And, she, you know, the benefit of having an agent on your side, first and foremost, is, again, it costs you literally nothing more to use her. I don't understand why anybody would plan a vacation without a Disney agent. It's like, I fly Southwest, and I'm constantly checking my Southwest flights to see if it went down. So my husband and I have booked 5 flights for the summer. 3 of them we booked with points, 2 of them we booked with cash. And I'm constantly looking to see, because if the flights go down in points, you can rebook and get your points back. You can rebook and get your cash back. So I'm constantly checking that. Well, nobody's like alerting me to, hey, this happened. I just have to be bored and on my phone and have checked all my social media and be like, oh, I guess I'll check Southwest now. But Erica is watching these things and promos come out, and she's like, oh, this will work for the Fry family. This is going to save them money. She'll send you an email, just saved you $200, just saved you $1,000. Dining is now free and you don't have to pay for it. Stuff like that. Having somebody, an advocate on your side. But being able to know that Disney is doing this, it's in construction. There are a lot of renderings that are out there as it gets closer to an open date, when they start to take reservations. You connect with somebody like Erica, or specifically Erica, and you kind of have the leg up on the rest of the people who, you know, I'm talking about it. You know, if I want to go, I'll just book a vacation when the time is right. Chances are you're going to want to go, and you're not going to be able to get in because you weren't on the ball enough.
Yeah.
So what else? Do you have anything else?
Yeah. The one thing I thought was really interesting is, well, prices. Because in 1971, how much do you think a price to Disney World cost in 1971?
Was it like a ticket? Wasn't it like $6 or something?
$3.50.
I've seen pictures of the original.
Insane. Now,
it's
close to that now. It is close to that.
I mean, you do have to pay $3.
Excuse me. I think, so you did, they had it to where it was like a state fair, too, to where you had to pay to get on each attraction.
Oh, I didn't know that.
If you didn't want to ride Space Mountain. You didn't have to ride Space Mountain. You just didn't pay for it. And it was like 10 cents to ride a ride. If you wanted to ride Small World 10 times, you
can pay
50 cents. So yeah, so that has changed. It is not $3.50, but they do have
to where you can get anything for $3.50.
I was going to say, I got a tea and I think it was barely
$3.50. I think a Mickey bar is like $3.75 now, maybe.
Yeah. A snack credit.
Yeah.
That's a snack credit.
And that's free.
Yeah.
It's not even
real. It is
money.
Included.
It's credit. Yes. Yes.
I learned that from you.
Yes. That is a very important thing to understand. Nothing is free, but many things will be included. There's a significant difference in those two numbers.
Yeah.
Or two words.
Yeah. So with that being said, too, as far as the pricing changes, as the park evolves and becomes into the new world, even back, I don't know, 5, 10 years ago, you could not find alcohol in the Magic Kingdom, that it was, you know, a kid's place, that you could always find alcohol at Epcot. But now they have understood to where adults can be
responsible and drink. Yeah, absolutely.
And drink. So now.
And it's the least you can do while we're carting our kids all over the park.
I mean, just let me have a margarita.
I love Disney World Sangria.
Yeah.
A lot of places. I don't drink beer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not opposed to people drinking beer. I just don't prefer it myself. And wine gives me headaches. I get migraines like in life, and I'm always afraid that wine's going to trigger that. And who wants a migraine at Disney?
No.
But their sangria makes me so happy.
Yeah. They have the Dole Whips are my favorite. So the spiked rum Dole Whips that have pineapple, like sorbet. Oh my gosh. I'm like, I dreams about this. So it also kind of goes along with that. You know, people have a misconception that, oh, I went as a kid. It's a kid's park. Maybe I'll take my kids someday. You know, it has definitely evolved to where you can enjoy with kids or you can enjoy without kids. And I think that's something that's really important. With that evolution, too, I think Disney Springs has had a giant reimagination similar to MGM Studios. So it used to be called Downtown Disney. So if you went back, you know, in the early 90s, it had more of a nightclub feel. There was a country honky tonk bar, and there was
nothing wrong. Sign me up, folks.
They had a nightclub where it was New Year's Eve every single night, and they'd have a countdown every night. And so it was definitely more.
They have a countdown every night.
Every night. Every night was New Year's Eve.
It's intense. I don't know if I'm game for that. I know people who are, like most people, but it sounds exhausting.
Yeah. And there's still, to this day, there's no ticket involved to go to Disney Springs.
Yeah.
So a lot of the locals could go, and it was very much a nightclub feel. Now it is not that at all. It is more of a dining restaurant experience. They have the boardwalk there where they'll have jugglers and different musicians, and it's a lot more family friendly shopping. Not so much a
delicious food.
Yeah, a lot of delicious foods. One of my favorite restaurants on property is at Disney Springs.
What is it?
Homecoming.
Gosh, I think it's on my list.
Yeah.
I think we're going to go. We got to go.
Did you not go? Art Smith is fried chicken.
Mm-mm.
So good. But that is also constantly evolving. During the holidays, they have the row of Christmas trees down there. So it's definitely changed to where if you are able to spend 5 days on property, if you don't want to buy an extra park ticket, if you get an early flight and want to go hang out someplace, I highly recommend going to Disney Springs because it is no longer Downtown Disney. It's not that nightclub feel anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, completely.
Yeah. Some of the other things, just as far as transportations go, I remember being a kid and being able to ride in the front of the monorail. Can't do that anymore.
Can't ride in front of the monorail
anymore?
Can't
ride in the front of the monorail
anymore. I don't even know if people should go to Disney World anymore.
I mean, it's tough.
You can buy the monorail. They have all the different transportation kinds of toys that you can get in the gift shops. I always think that's interesting, but I bet people dig that, like to be able to buy a toy monorail. She's like, I'm going home to play with mine right now.
I have my own, like, Magic Kingdom and my
do you
no
yeah I you say that and I'm like, oh yeah, it doesn't surprise. Oh no, never mind. That'd be ridiculous. What are you talking about?
I totally would if we had more room.
Little maybe Skyliner once gondolas, you can buy those. You can also buy ones that are coffee cups that you could drink out of. That's cool.
I'm really excited about that. That is the other thing. So back in the 70s there was a gondola system that was a transportation system.
How long was that around?
Not very long. I mean, I don't know.
I feel like it was, because it was called the Skyway.
Yeah.
I think. Because I had this, I feel like I remember it.
Yeah, you probably do. It was, I mean, it shut down.
I'm Googling.
Okay, yeah, you Google.
1994.
Yeah.
I do remember it. I don't think we wrote it. Didn't somebody fall out of it?
Yeah. It was not good. Like, somebody got really hurt.
But made it.
I don't know.
Oh, well.
Enough to where it shut down and got rid of it. But with the way that technology has moved and the way that, you know, the advances in security and the advances in double checks and triple checks, they have now created a new gondola system that is called the Skyliner that just opened up this year, which is just an added level of transportation when getting from the resorts to the property. And again, speaking with how amazing that the resorts are, you know, the boardwalk, if you do want to go to the nightclub, the boardwalk has an amazing place called Jelly Rolls. I don't know if you've ever been there.
I haven't, but it sounds a lot of fun. It's dueling pianos.
Dueling pianos.
I've been to dueling piano bars, and those are totally fun.
And there's the big ESPN sports bar that's there, and there's, you know, different things. So the gondola could take you from, you know, if you were at Epcot and you want to just ride the gondola over to the boardwalk, you can certainly do that. Or walk over to the boardwalk, you can certainly do that. If you're staying at Pop Century, you can ride the gondola over to Epcot and walk over to the boardwalk. So, you know, it's just another added level of transportation that I think that they really keep in mind, along with the minivans. The minivans are new. It's a new, just another way to enhance the guest experience.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
The last thing I have is just talking about how they're really reimagining the parks. Fantasyland is the newest land to the Magic Kingdom. It now has
that's weird
castles.
To me because I don't know that that's new.
Yeah,
because it's all new to me because I went so far long ago in the very beginning of the 90s. But if people went in the 2000s, when they build these things and then they expand them after they build them.
Yeah.
I mean, it just goes to show how they're constantly evolving.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess I say new. It opened in 2012. So
yeah.
8 years ago, it brought a new parade. It brought new attractions. Seven Dwarf Mine Train was new.
Super fun.
So much fun. So they're constantly reimagining these parks and opening new things. So I am a huge advocate for obviously going frequently. The fact that I haven't been in a year, I feel like I'm going to go and it's going to be a whole new experience even for me. I think a big misconception is people are like, yeah, I've been once. I've seen everything.
I did that thing.
Yeah.
I've done it. I did it, you know, we did it when the kids were little and it was all right. It was fun. We had a good time. It's very... It's just an evolution constantly. It's like almost a living, breathing thing.
It absolutely is.
That changes over the course of time and improves and gets edited, much to some people's chagrin and other people championing it. You know, I've heard lots of people say about the movie ride, just basically what you were saying is it was so past time. It definitely needed to happen. They're just not as warm and fuzzy nostalgic about it as you are.
Yeah.
So people
I love the movies, though. I think that's what...
People have their own opinions. And chances are when you see Mickey's Runaway Railway, you'll be like, this is adorable and cute. And I'm so glad I got to experience this. And it's part of the growing process, as is anything.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there are a few things that if you went to Disney World a long, long time ago in a land far, far away, it's changed quite a bit and it will continue to change. There are new resorts opening and there are new parts of the parks that are being reimagined and developed all the time. New restaurants being put in and the experience is an amazing one. Can't recommend it more myself. But I do recommend that you reach out to Erica and consider asking her some questions. You can just reach out to her, establish a line of communication so that if you have questions about this and you think, you know, maybe it's in your future in the next 5 years or maybe it's in the future in your next 5 months, Erica can help set you up. Erica Murphy Magic Expeditions on Facebook. Search and like the page there. And also you can email her directly. Erica, Erika@magicexpeditions.com. All right. We'll be back with another episode of the Pixie Dust podcast with Tony Colombo. Our new series that we have going there is Main Street Cred, where he talks to you about some of the ins and outs of the details that exist in the Disney World area, the whole park, the whole thing that you may not have known quite yet. And I will update you with the latest news coming out of Walt Disney World as well in that edition. And we appreciate you subscribing. Anywhere you get your iTunes subscriptions, your radio.com podcast subscriptions, Stitcher, we are there, and we are very grateful for your ears listening to this podcast. Thanks so much. We'll be back next week.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
I keep seeing celebrities' posts, me in the 90s versus now. Well, the person staring at me in the mirror is definitely not the same person that could pull off bootcut jeans. Time creeps up on us so slowly. You don't see it until suddenly you do. Same thing goes for your bills. A dollar here, an uptick there. It's a slow burn until one day you realize the price you're paying now is way higher than when you signed up. But at T-Mobile, customers had the lowest wireless bills versus Verizon and AT&T over the past 5 years. And with T-Mobile on their experience plans, you get a 5-year price guarantee, so you know exactly what your plan price will be for the next 5 years. So at least that's one thing that won't change over time. I can't guarantee you'll still look good with frosted tips, but T-Mobile can give you a clear guarantee on your wireless plan.
Lower bills based on AirSex billing snapshots from Q3 21 to Q4 25 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. Price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Exclusions like taxes and fees apply. See T-Mobile.com.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney Refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.